Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
We're in our third message on the power of the blood. And I call this message the keys of the kingdom because in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord told his disciples that he would build his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But there's something that he said that I want to read to you before I read the text out of Revelation 12. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," that means the confession of his faith, that Jesus is God, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he died for our sins, that's the rock. It's that confession, that testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now flip over to Revelation chapter 12, and I want to read verses 7 through 12. And before I read this, just to get it into context, the world is on a calendar towards the end times, towards when the Lord Jesus is going to come back, that he is moving the world towards his return. When you get to chapter 12, it takes us from the birth of Jesus all the way through the coming back of Jesus. And so we're going to pick up a little ways into chapter 12 because I want to focus mainly on verse 11. So let's start in verse 7. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer." Now, something that you need to understand, this is the first victory that we're seeing here. Of course, the birth and the survival of Jesus against Herod, that was a victory as well. But starting in our text, this is the first victory that you see, is that Michael and God's angel, God's archangel, fights with the devil and he wins in the heavenly realm. Now, the great dragon is the devil. "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." This is a victory for the saints. "And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." This morning when I woke up, and every Sunday morning when I wake up praying for the day, praying for what the Lord would want me to do. And the Lord spoke to my heart that he had something he wanted me to do this morning. And I said, "Lord, you already do. I've been working on this sermon. I've got it all prepared." And the Lord said, "You're going to use your sermon, but in a different way." And I just felt like the Lord was sharing with me, and he affirmed it. Took a little while, but he affirmed it, that he wanted me to share my testimony of how I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Usually when I prepare a message, I follow through with it because the Lord illuminates the word, and I pray over the message. And I thought that the Lord wanted me to replace the message, but he didn't. What he's doing is he's enhancing the message. Maybe there's somebody that's going to be watching us on Facebook or see this later. I don't know. Maybe an unbeliever. Maybe somebody that is looking for hope and wanting to come into the light and get out of the darkness. Well, I want to help you to do that today. If you have an outline, or if you like to write down the points, I'm going to give the points because they still fit my testimony. And our first point is this. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony gives us victory over, number one, Satan's accusations against us. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I want to go back in time just a little bit, and I know many in our church have heard my testimony, but I grew up in a traditional nuclear family, and while I was into my elementary years, we went to church, not all the time, but off and on, but I didn't know the Lord. I didn't understand who Jesus was, and so as time went and I got into high school, I began to do things I shouldn't. I was living in darkness, and I began to drink, and by the time I graduated from high school, I was an alcoholic. My life was a life of darkness, partying, drinking, had a cussing mouth. I was very ambitious, seemed to do pretty good in things of the career, but inwardly I was falling apart. I was lonely. I didn't know what truth was. I didn't really realize at the time that this Bible, that this book called the Bible, is God's Word, and I wasn't turning to it for help. And I was ignoring the Word of God. I didn't want to hear a preacher preach. I didn't want to hear anything on TV. I didn't want to hear anything on the radio that had anything to do with God, because I was running from the light. I didn't want my sin to be exposed. So I continued through life, got into my 20s, and went to work for a mechanical contractor in Colorado, and was making pretty good money, and thought that life was good. But I knew in my heart that I was missing something, but I didn't know what I was missing. And so I would pursue material things. Well, if I just had this. Well, if I just had that. But what I didn't understand is that I was lost, and that I was running from God. And that all that time, and I think about all the times and how drunk I got, and how God preserved me in vehicle accidents and everything else. Wake up sometimes in a bar parking lot, and I wouldn't even know what town I was in. My life was a wreck. And this cycle was just continuing, and I couldn't seem to break the cycle. Then depression began to hit. Loneliness began to hit. And so I got older, and I was in my late 20s, and the Lord began to woo me. He began to draw me. But I fought against it. I fought it because I didn't, in my mind, Satan was lying to me. And by the way, that's the second point today is this: Satan's deception and lies to us. In other words, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony gives us victory over Satan's deception and lies. Satan whispers lies in your ears. He whispered a lie in the ear of Eve, and he told her that if you eat of this tree, you will not surely die. Well, not only did she die spiritually, and then later physically, but then the whole human race born after her and Adam died as well. That's why we have to be born again, and we need to be saved if we're going to have a life with the Lord and live forever in heaven and not hell. You got to have a relationship to Jesus Christ. And so I came to a point in my life that I was extremely depressed. I was an alcoholic, wake up in the morning drinking, go to bed at night drinking. My life was miserable. All I wanted to do is party and work. That's it. Party all the time and work. That was it. And so I knew that I wasn't going to live long with that kind of a life. And I knew that all of the things that I had escaped was because there had to be a higher power in my mind that was watching over me, but I didn't understand it at the time. But I knew that I was escaping death in some crazy ways, and something was going on that I couldn't explain. And so later one morning, I was at a plan table. And at that plan table, I got there at daylight. I opened the lid on the plan table and was trying to figure some things out before the guys got there. And the Lord began to convict me. And I didn't know what conviction was. And I began to tell myself I was a sinner. I began to hate my sin. This is harder than what I thought it was going to be. And at that moment, I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt God saying, I love you. I'm not judging you. I came to save you, not to condemn you. You're already condemned. You're already judged. You got to have a relationship with me. But I didn't understand it. My mind was not there. I just couldn't get it. But I just knew that it was a touch from the hand of God right there early morning hours at a plan table out in the middle of a what would be a prison. We were building going to be building a prison. And so I went to the job shack, and I said, I'm quitting my job today, and I'm moving to Tyler. The project manager said, why are you quitting? I said, I've got to get around Christians. I'm moving to Tyler, and I just want to be around Christians. Well, I ended up moving that day back to Tyler by faith. Came back. I'm still an alcoholic, still all the same things going on in my life. I couldn't defeat the demons within me. I couldn't defeat the enemy within me. But I knew that I had been spoken to by the Lord. So I came back, and in a process of time, I went to work for a family business that not our immediate family owns, but it was owned in our family, and I went to work for them and ended up in Corsicana on a project that was a state project. And so while I was there, this was about 6 months after I quit my job to get around Christians and to seek the Lord. And I was still drinking heavy. I was still living the way I was living, but I just knew in my heart that I was doing the wrong thing. I knew that there's a God out there, but I felt like maybe I had gone too far. Maybe he wouldn't hear me anymore. Maybe that was the one instance there at that plan table. But I misunderstood the love of God, that God was in control of every single day. He knew what he was doing. And so one night I was in the hotel there in Corsicana, and I was about to go to the hotel bar, as I did every night. And so when I grabbed the doorknob to go out, it was like the Lord was saying, if you let go of this doorknob, you'll never have another chance. That's the way I felt. Not that I think he would have gave me another chance, but I felt that way. And I didn't let go of that doorknob. And I was wrestling with it because I wanted so bad to get a drink. But I just kept hanging on to that doorknob. So I finally shut it. I get back in the room. And I realize I start feeling something happening inside of me that I'd never felt before, similar to what I felt at the plan table, but with an increased degree. I felt that God was speaking in my heart saying, Bruce, you need to seek me right now. Bruce, you need to turn from the way you're living right now. I want to show you how I work. I can work in your life tonight, and I can change your life from this point on if you'll let me. I felt that message, not that articulate, but I felt that message. So I went over and I prayed, and I said, Lord, do you hear me? I didn't know anything about praying. I was just hoping that he was hearing me. And I remembered that there was a Gideon Bible in the drawer, and I opened the drawer, and I pulled the Gideon Bible out, and I ended up in the book of John. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I knew in my heart it's what I'd been running from. I had been running from the Word. I had been running from God, and I didn't want to hear any messages about salvation. I was having too much fun in life. But all of that was lies from the devil. I just thought it was fun. It was really bondage, bondage of sin. I was really the one in a prison, and I was in a prison in my own mind and in my own heart. Well, anyway, I began to look in John in the Gideon Bible, and I thought maybe Billy Graham is on, doing a crusade. Maybe somebody's preaching on how to be saved. I didn't know how to be saved. And so I turned the TV on, and I'm flipping through the channels. I've got my Bible laying there, the Gideon Bible. And John Hagee was preaching a message that night, and it was on the seven I.M.s of John. And all of the claims of Jesus there in John. And when he got to John 14:6, I was trying my best to follow along wherever he was in the Bible. And I just felt drawn of the Lord, but I felt so embarrassed. I felt like he couldn't save me. I felt like there was something I had to do, that there was something I had to do. That's the way life always worked. And I thought there was some kind of work that I needed to do. Or maybe I needed to be in the right religion or in the right church. And so when he got nearly to the end of his message, and he quoted John 14:6, the lights kicked on. That's the verse that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And at that moment, I mean, the tears begin to fall, because for the very first time in my life, I realized that salvation was not about being a Baptist. It was not about being an assembly of God. It was not about being a church of Christ. It was not about being a Catholic. It was not about being a Methodist. It was not about any of those things. I realized that salvation was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to save and to redeem and shed his innocent blood. His blood was not of the inheritance of Adam. The Bible says in Luke that he was conceived in the womb. Typically, conception is in the fallopian tube. He said he was conceived in the womb. It was a supernatural birth, virgin birth. His blood was God blood. It was not man blood, it was God blood. And he lived a life that I couldn't live for 33 years. He lived a life of total obedience to God. He fulfilled the law. He was born under the law, and he fulfilled the law according to Galatians. He fulfilled the law, and while I was in that hotel room, and I'm understanding that Jesus is the way that I've been running from, I'm understanding he's the way to life, and I didn't know what to do. But I wanted him so bad. And I got down on the floor, and I got on my knees, and I began to ask the Lord to forgive me. I began to ask him to come into my heart and to transform me and to take away all the burdens. And I knew at that moment that the drinking had already gone away. I felt that leave. I knew all that stuff was leaving. I could feel it. I felt the bondage. I felt released, just as the song Kevin sang, "My Chains Are Gone." I felt the bolt cutters of the supernatural power of God cut the chains. But I couldn't explain it with words. Still struggled to explain it with words. A burden lifted. At that moment, I said, "Lord, if you'll show me," I didn't have anybody in there to show me how to be saved. I said, "Lord, if you'll show me how to be saved and how to get right with you, I'll follow you the rest of my life. And I'll live my life in a way that'll make you proud." Well, now I know that I probably hadn't, but I've done the best that I can to please the Lord with my life. What's interesting is the Lord responded to that prayer. You can be wherever you are right now, and you can seek the Lord. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." And I want to tell you that God will show up when you seek him. And I was on that floor, and I had tears flowing, and I was praying. The only way I knew how to pray in my dark, messed up soul. And I said, "Lord, I'll follow you. Just show me the way. Show me what to do." And it was like Jesus was in the upper corner of that room. I didn't see his face, and I didn't really see the hands, but I saw something real white, like a white robe. I can't even explain it. My head was bowed. And it was like he had his hands out, and I understood it perfectly. He says, "Just come to me. Just come to me." And that is the invitation of Jesus Christ, even at the end of Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And Jesus Christ was saying, "Just come to me." And I gave my heart to him right there. I knew I'd heard from the Lord. "Just come to me." You see, I didn't initiate my salvation. God did. He convicted me at that plan table when I wasn't looking for him. It was a divine appointment. He showed up when I was fixing to head out of a hotel room to a bar. He showed up right when I grabbed that doorknob, and he said, "Don't you go." He spoke to my heart. You see, God loves you, and he's drawing you, and he's using divine appointments to show you that he wants to save you. He wants to change the course of your life. He doesn't want you to continue in that depression. He doesn't want you to continue in that alcoholism or drugs or pornography or whatever it is that may have you trapped. He doesn't want you to go that way. You see, God wants to change you and give you a new passion, a new zeal, a new creation. And that's what he does. And so the Bible says in verse 11, "And they overcame him," talking about the overcoming the devil. I overcame the devil that night. There was a victory took place in that hotel room. Recently, I had to speak at a Gideon conference in Corsicana, and I was just curious if that hotel was still there. And I went to the hotel, and the hotel, it was before the conference started, and the hotel had been changed, totally 100% remodeled, different name, and all of those things. And I walked in, and I asked the lady at the counter, I said, "Ma'am, didn't this used to be a Days Inn?" She said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Well, that room right around the corner About the third door down on the left is where I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I shared with that lady at the hotel how much that memory has stuck with me through the years of getting saved in that room. And I told her, I said, right over here is where a bar used to be. And I used to sit in that bar, but on that particular night, I got saved in that room right over there. But I came to the bar after I got saved. You say you did? I went to the bar, and I walked in there, and the lady knew me. She was already getting prepared to fix me a drink. And I said, oh, no. And I had tears still in my eyes, and my face was swollen because it was tears of joy. And I walked in there, and I said, ma'am, make a pot of coffee because I'm going to be up all night long reading the Gideon Bible. I just gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And he changed my life. You see, that's the word of my testimony. You see, you can't overcome the devil except but by the blood of the Lamb. You can't overcome your sin except but by the blood of the Lamb. You can't overcome your spiritual darkness and all of those things that we have in our lost state except but by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died on the cross so that you could have life. Then if you've been covered by the blood, you have a testimony. Your testimony is not just your salvation, it's your life every day. You have a testimony of how Christ is filling you and speaking to you and using you on a daily basis. But your testimony is so much more than that. Your testimony is that as you had the Word of God in your heart, as you had this book, had these pages in your heart, God begins to lead you with His testimony, with His Word. And how do we overcome the enemy? How do we overcome deceptions and lies? We overcome it with the Word of God. And so whenever Satan whispers a lie, the Holy Spirit whispers a truth. Satan will whisper a lie, well, you need to do this, and God won't surely do that, and you can do this, and God doesn't care, and you start trying to justify things, and then God's Word comes alive in your heart and says, no, that's not true. And God gives you a truth from the Word of God. That's why it's important that we spend time in the Word of God. I like to think of us like cows. We're kind of like cows. A cow gets out in the pasture and a cow eats a bunch of grass, and then he regurgitates that grass and he chews it some more, and then he regurgitates that grass and he chews it some more, and then he swallows it finally, and it gives him strength for life. Well, we've got to chew the Word of God, regurgitate it and meditate on it, chew our cud, chew on the Word of God until it changes our life. Until it transforms us. This is the word of our testimony. You got to be covered by the blood, and then you fall in love with the truths of the Word of God. You know, it's interesting because the next day after I got saved, I had a testimony. Did you know that day before, when I drove from the job to the hotel, I was as lost as I could be. I was still the same alcoholic. My heart was miserable. I was lonely. I was depressed. I was suffering miserably on the inside and trying to camouflage it with the partying and getting drunk. But you know what happened? I drove to that hotel that night, a lost sinner. But the next morning I left that hotel as a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. I became a child of God that night. And you see, you don't have to be in a church to get saved, but I encourage it. You can be wherever you're at right now. And you may be saying to yourself, you know, I don't think I've ever given my heart to Jesus Christ. You can do that. You can have a testimony as well. I left the hotel the next day, the next morning, soon as a Christian bookstore opened in Corsicana. I bought a bunch of New Testaments. Went to the job and was handing them out. This is people that knew me as the cussing mouth, spiritually dark, crazy guy, alcoholic. And they're like, what happened to that guy? And I walk up and I'm handing them Bibles. And I'd say, I want to give you this Bible. And I just want to tell you, it's not about religion. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you tonight. He'll save you right now. He'll save you today. Give your heart to Jesus. Oh, that zeal we have right after salvation, we need it back. This whole world would change in no time if Christians would get busy about sharing their faith and sharing their testimony. It would change like that because it's the power of God unto salvation. If we don't share the gospel, we're burying it in the sand. and it's doing nobody that's lost any good. We got to share it for it to do any good. And it takes courage and it takes faith to share the gospel. But I got to this one guy and I handed him a Bible, and he was kind of intimidating looking. And I handed it to him, and he handed it right back to me. He said, "Man, I don't need this." And I said, "Well, man," I said, "Jesus saved me last night. And if you need to be saved, he'll save you too." And I handed it right back to him. He said, "No, man, I'm an agnostic." I didn't know what an agnostic was. I said, "Listen, it doesn't matter if you're an agnostic, a Church of Christ, a Baptist, Assembly of God, Methodist. None of that matters. And take that Bible." And I gave it back to him. He came to me later and he said my grandmother had been praying for me. And I got home and I had a card in the mailbox. And it simply said, "I'm praying for you." You see, God had a divine appointment for even him. God works through everything. And I just want to share with you, we're running out of time right now, so I just want to share with you. You may be watching this, and I just want to share with you that God will do the same for you. You say, "Well, I hadn't really been a bad guy." I tell you, you're just as lost if you're morally lost as if you're like I was. You see, lost is lost. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ by faith and believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus, you're still lost. But Jesus wants to change that. He wants to give you a life that's everlasting. He wants to give you a hope. Listen, the hope, in fact, Brother Sean preached on it the other day. The hope is so great that, listen to what the Bible says right here in verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." That tells me that change that Christ Jesus puts in the heart is so powerful. You know why they didn't love their lives till the death? Because Jesus was in their heart and he had already overcome death. You see, you have the overcomer living within you when you give your heart to Jesus. He gives you the strength to defeat the vices, the things that you can't defeat. He gives you the strength to defeat it. He gives you guidance. He lets you know you've been completely forgiven. He cleanses your conscience of the guilt. I had so much guilt when I came to the Lord. By the way, that was one of the reasons I ran from the Lord, was because of my guilt. But did you know when you give your heart to Jesus, his blood washes it. He cleanses you white as snow. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west, according to Psalms. You see, the Lord comes to cleanse your conscience to where the guilt can be removed. He comes and he makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus and gives you a new adventure, a new purpose in life. Who wouldn't want that? But the greatest thing of all is you have a hope that transcends this world. We look at the world today, it's in a mess. This is an absolute mess. And I'll tell you, the message for the world today has not changed. The only reason that the world exists today, the only reason I'm standing here today preaching, there's only one reason: because of the grace of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross, the end time would already be here, because he would have done wiped us out. You're still living today because Jesus loves you and he wants to save you and he wants to redeem you and he wants to put a new song in your heart. He wants to put joy in your heart and he wants to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that whenever you die, you'll say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And Jesus will look back at you and he'll say the words of John 11:25. And he'll say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Though you may die, yet shall you live." And then he asked a question. He said, "And those who believe in me shall never die." And then he asked a question. He said, "Do you believe this?" That's the question we have today. Do you believe this? That's the question he had for me in that hotel room. "Bruce, do you believe this?" And I believed. And I'm glad that I believed. And I'm glad that God gave me the ability to believe and the ability to choose him. And he wants to do that for you today.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you, and God bless.